Good morning, everyone. How nice to be with you again. I look forward to these times of conversation, since we're all living a little isolated. I really enjoy being able to communicate with so many of you every day, almost every day. So let us start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master Paramhansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, dearest friend Swami Kriyananda, humbly we bow to you all. Help us to understand these words of wisdom and to take them deep into our hearts and into our minds, and help us to meditate on them and reflect so that the true uplifting power will be revealed to us and that we will be given the strength to follow through on this guidance so that we may become ever more free, more joyful, more loving, more able to live in this world as your channels and to transition when the time comes into the next world with ever greater freedom and joy. Om. Peace. Amen. I received a comment on one of the recordings, which actually was a valid point, and the comment was, well, what about when we pass, don't we want to be thinking about all our happy experiences and all I've been talking about since this started is mistakes and suffering and guilt and all of those things? And it actually, when I saw that comment, it actually made me sort of insecure. So I went and I opened this book just to see. And actually, Swamiji has, you know, he's enumerated actually six things to do in order to prepare for the final exam. And the first one is your mistakes. And it happens to be quite long, because human nature has a certain reality to it. I mean, we can go ahead and affirm and say, oh, let's just think about the positive things. But the reason that, so one of the illustrative examples that Swami gave us right at the beginning was one of Master's disciples who was a very good person, but at the end of his life, all his mind would go to was the things he'd done wrong. So that was the first example of how the mind has a tendency to think in terms of its weaknesses instead of its strengths. And all of us have found, and this is the odd thing about happiness itself. Happiness is the absence of anything which tells us we shouldn't be happy. But the problem is there's so many things that tell us we shouldn't be happy that we think of happiness as something we have to seek. But what we actually have to do is we have to remove the obstacles to our experience of it, because our true nature is bliss. And Maya persuades us we have lots of reasons not to feel that way. And if one thinks about one's own life, when the mind starts going to happy experiences, you don't have to work at that. But then what happens is, in the midst of reflecting on happy memories, the vrittis in the spine will grab your attention and pull your attention down, literally, to things that are unhappy. And it's knowing how to dissolve those vrittis. If we can dissolve those vrittis, then happiness is automatic. Then the mind just goes there. However, the first of his six points is how to overcome all these limitations. And then 2 through 6 after that is then freed now, or at least knowing how to combat these negative attacks in a way that will be effective. Then we can just literally sink back into the uplifted, happy nature, which is our true self. So good question. Stick with me. We'll finish the race. And by the time we get to the end of the race, we'll be done with all of this. And we'll be going toward our bliss nature. So in case any of the others, if you were beginning to think the same, I just wanted to make that clear. So what we're going to talk about now, last time we talked about if you've ever desecrated your higher self-image. And then Swamiji gives specific examples of different ways that we begin to think that we might have mistreated other people. An amazing amount of our forgiveness is all related to other people. And it's not forgiveness meaning forgiveness is what I'm going to talk about today. A great deal of liberating ourselves from negative reactions all has to do with our reactions to other people. But that's not incidental. And that's very important in another session somewhere in all of this. When I was reading Out of the Path, Swami's autobiography, in the last chapter about Master's last days, or it's just one of the later chapters in the book. And Swamiji is talking about spiritual family. He says specifically that in order to attain spiritual freedom, we have to spiritualize our relationship not only with God, within ourselves with God, but also with the objective world, which means primarily our relationships to other people. Because it is in those relationships and in the reactions that our interactions with other people activate within us. That's the great teacher. And it's partly with those particular souls. I think we've talked about this earlier, but it's primarily with the reaction that other people's lives create in us, because it explains to each of us, it explains to me who I am. I can say, oh, it's all God, and I can give this wonderful exhortation about resting in Divine Mother's arms and let's not worry about anything. And then somebody says something to me and I don't like it. And I have this reaction inside of myself. And so the gap between what I know intellectually and where my heart really is, that's the spiritual path, that gap right there. And so we have to work with this continuously, because it just keeps asserting itself. I mean, that's what life is all about. And that's why so much of this is about how we treat other people, because that's where anger, resentment, and longing all just sort of anger, regret, resentment, longing. All of it just starts accumulating and causes us to fail the final exam or to get a lower grade than we would like to get. That's the only way you can put it. You can't fail. You just, because you always get to have a do-over. Whether that's good news or not, you always get a do-over. You can always take a makeup exam. It just might take you a whole nother incarnation to get to the point where that's scheduled. Well, the point that I wanted to talk about now, it brings in the word forgiveness, and I'm going to read the whole paragraph and then we'll work from it. If ever you've held a negative thought toward anyone, send him blessings now to replace those disturbing vibrations. That's a lovely phrase for it, isn't it? Swamiji, his language here is so wonderfully, it's perfectly apt, but it's not overstated. Disturbing vibrations. That's just a wonderful way to think about it. I send out negative thoughts, and those are disturbing vibrations. They disturb me. They disturb the atmosphere around me, and they may also disturb the equanimity of the person to whom they're directed. How much they actually affect that person depends on how much force you have in your own thoughts, and also the nature of their inner reality. They may be perfectly conscious of the fact that what you think doesn't matter, which is other things that have been written here. They're working in their own life, on their own life, in their own way. I remember an interaction between two people when one was urging upon another a certain transformation of consciousness, which was self-evidently a good thing, but the recipient of that so-called good advice said, I understand that what you're saying is true, but it's just not my priority right now. I'm working on other things. And so the suggestion was made, but the individual had the freedom to say, you could be right, but it doesn't resonate with me right now. So how much your thoughts actually disturb others depends, as I said, also on their state of mind, whether or not they're vulnerable to that kind of energy. But the disturbance has been created in your consciousness, if nowhere else. And especially when we get to the final exam, that's all we're dealing with. We're just dealing with our own consciousness, because that's all we're going to have in a short period of time. So If ever you've held a negative thought toward anyone, and probably most of us can say, yeah, on occasion we have, send him blessings to replace those disturbing vibrations. Raise your feelings to a level where you find yourself thinking of that person with kindness. Don't imagine it is sufficient merely to forgive him with the lingering thought that he needs forgiveness. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Send him supportive thoughts, rather, and tell him mentally, it is your job, not mine, to work out whatever problems you have. For my part, I wish you strength, happiness, and wisdom, for we are fellow pilgrims on the long journey to eternal bliss in God, our common Father. So there's a lot in there, because there's a great deal of talk these days and teaching, and it's all valid, about how to forgive. Because when we're carrying these negative thoughts and these angers toward people, it's we ourselves who are going to be hurt by it. I made reference to a woman whose daughter was murdered, and the murderer was captured and convicted and sent to prison for a very long time. But the mother realized that the man had murdered her daughter, and now her hatred of him was killing her. And because she didn't want to have him have the victory of killing both of them, she went to visit him in prison, and it's a beautiful story of teaching empathy and various things. I won't repeat it here. But the disturbing vibrations were most of all in her because of the hatred she felt toward him, and it was literally destroying her physical body and her mental well-being. So, but the concept here, Swami says, it's not enough merely to forgive. Okay, to forgive is to say, I'm not going to carry this hatred to you anymore. But Swami wants us to go a step farther. And this is the thing about the spiritual path. It's not enough merely to do the superficial, because what we're working with is actual vibrations of consciousness. And vibrations of consciousness demonstrate what I actually, in my instinctive self, think is true, is reality. See, what we're doing on the spiritual path is we're trying to perceive reality, true reality, instead of the reality that Maya puts in front of us. This whole universe, you know, as the masters tell us, it's just a vibration. It's just a dream vibration. And we've talked about this in earlier sessions, so I won't go through it in great length, that we're living God's dream. So as long as I stand here and say, well, you have behaved in an unconscionable way, you've betrayed me, you've hurt me, you've disappointed me, all these different things, but I am not going to be angry with you anymore. I'm just going to forgive you. And that's a good step. That's a better step than holding these obsessively negative and disturbing thoughts. But we're still holding the thought that you're a bad person. It's just that I'm big enough now to realize that I don't have to carry it anymore, and I'm just going to let you go. Swamiji says we have to go a step further, because that's not how God regards us. See, we're trying to become perfect examples of Divine Mother here. God doesn't look at us and say, well, you're just such a terrible soul, but I'm stuck with you, so I guess there's nothing we can do. You know, so I'm going to give you the worst job and just let you sit over there because I can't get rid of you, so I have to keep you. But that's not really helping someone. You may be helping yourself by not being actively angry anymore, but we have to go a whole step further, and we also have to help that person. And it's annoying. It's like what's being asked of us. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we can also be realistic. I can't go that far. You could say to Divine Mother, you're going to have to love him because I can't. I'm not actively angry, but I can't open my heart that much farther. It takes a lot of courage to open your heart that much farther. And you also have to understand that you're not, the person presents, when you totally see that person as Divine Mother sees them, They no longer present a threat to you. See, part of the reason that we keep our hearts closed is because some part of us still believes that if I open, this person can hurt me. So it's not like I'm opening in the sense of I welcome you back into my life. You don't have to do anything like that. But you can say, I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to go on and create this suffering in other people. And whatever misery you've created in me, the misery of being you must be much worse. Because if you could actually behave that way, whatever we're talking about, you know, if this is really who you are, there's a lot of things that you have to learn. And I want you to learn, which may mean that they do have to go through suffering. But to say, I want you to suffer is quite different than saying, I want you to learn. I want you to learn whatever this is so that you won't be so miserable and so that nobody else will have to. And the reason I want you to learn is because that's really when the whole relationship is dissolved. If I'm still standing here with arms folded, you know, being magnanimous enough to forgive you for what you did to me, that's a step toward actually accepting, supporting, and loving, but it's only the first step. It's not the rest of the journey. Now, don't misunderstand. This doesn't mean you ever have to see the person again, talk to them again, be in any kind of proximity to them. None of those things are required. What's required is that you actually purge your heart of disturbing vibrations. Because if the disturbing vibrations are still within you, then you can't do anything about it. Now, bear in mind, there are many important rules in relationship to this. I was talking to some friends, a man once who was caught in a terrible custody battle with his ex-wife, and she was awful. There's no other word for it. She was awful. She was doing everything she could just to make his life miserable without regard for the welfare of the child. And the man kept trying to pray for his ex-wife, you know, send her positive vibes. I said, don't. You don't even want to have a prayer connection with this person. No, they're actively working to make your life miserable, and you don't want to open any channel. And you're not stronger than they are. You're not able to convert this person. So you don't want to be sitting there visualizing them in light and sending them light, because all that does is make a connection between you. I said, you need to say, Divine Mother, this one is your problem. It's just, she's not going to be part of my life anymore. Consider her prayed for, but not by me. It's just, I'm not strong enough to be in connection with her. But that doesn't mean I wish her ill. That just means I see what I'm dealing with. And what I'm dealing with is an actively disturbed person who is actively trying to create misery in my life, and I'm not interested. I'm really not interested. And that's one of the things, Swami, we don't have to make it work with other people, because often those other people are not really interested in making it work. We have to be practical in our idealism. And this is something that people of an idealistic but not a practical nature don't always understand, or don't understand that it's okay. It's okay just to write this person out of your life, but you want to write them out of your heart in the sense that there's no issue anymore. There's just no issue. I wish them well. I want them to learn what they have to learn. When this is not in terms of negativity, but when my parents were elderly, and my mother had physical issues, and then my father gradually developed some mental issues. And it was very upsetting on many levels. It went on for a number of years, but I got to learn things that were absolutely tremendously important to me. And I kept trying to dictate their karma for them. I kept trying to use my willpower and my efficiency and my executive abilities to organize their lives according to the picture that I thought was the best life for them. And it was just a mess. It didn't work for me and didn't work for them. It was really a mess. And then I finally realized that it wasn't really that I needed anything to happen in any particular way. What I really and deeply, sincerely wanted was for them to grow spiritually. And that was a completely sincere. Now, I wasn't working. My parents have always been very good to me. I didn't have any complexity of negativity that I had to work out with them. But therefore, it was a little easier. But I was able to come down to what I really want is for them to grow spiritually. So I stopped thinking about who they were, what they should do, how I wanted them to behave, how their decisions would impact me. I just forgot all that. And I said to Divine Mother, give them the humility, the receptivity, and the wisdom to learn whatever it is you're trying to teach them. And the wonderful thing, and the reason why I'm suggesting it even in this context where our own feelings toward a person might be negative, if we have any goodness in our heart, we really want the person to learn. I mean, that's sort of a way that you can put it, where you don't have to make them a better person than they are, and you don't have to make them a worse person than they are. They just have things they don't know, like, surprise, surprise, guess what? I bet all of us have, what do you know, things we don't know that we're trying to learn. What is my fundamental prayer for myself? My fundamental prayer for myself is giving me the humility, the receptivity, and the wisdom to learn whatever it is you're trying to teach me. And that also applies just as clearly if I'm struggling with negative attitudes towards someone. What are you, God, trying to teach me by keeping me into this loop? You know, this loop of whatever it is. Well, I forgive you, but I'm still have my arms folded and a piece of me still wants that apology. You can forgive people, but you know, you're still waiting for them to come back and tell you what, you know, how badly they behaved and how sorry they are. And we can wait. I mean, that's a hook too. We just wait incarnations. We just sit there with our arms folded, as I am now, sitting with our arms folded, waiting for them to come and apologize. I mean, that's sort of where forgiveness often puts us. I've forgiven you, but now I want you to apologize. And it might be, again, these are these things that are way deep and that we find ourselves circling back in preoccupation. And maybe the charge is diminished a little bit, but we still circle back in preoccupation with a situation. But what you really want, and meditate on this deeply for the people you feel who have hurt you or whatever, that you're still holding anything other than a completely, you know, clean, open slate, and try out the idea. What I really want is for them to learn. And of course, then we become impatient for them to learn, and we want to be the instrument of their learning. We want to be there when they learn, you know, just all these different things. But at least it takes us down the right road. Because that way, you don't have to tell yourself untruths. You know, this person has really behaved in a very, very bad way, and maybe I'm not the only one they've hurt. Lord, help them to learn. Humility, receptivity, wisdom, to learn whatever it is you're trying to teach them. And I found I have found, since I discovered that that way of praying in regard to my parents, that it's very useful when I'm caught up in other relationships that are more fraught is actually the word, more fraught with disturbing vibrations. And so then it's just you visualize, if contact with that person, even on the psychic level, is not dangerous for you. If it's dangerous for you in the sense that you will receive disturbing vibrations, don't do it. But you give it to Divine Mother, or if you can, you visualize them. And what you send toward them is, whatever it is that God is trying to teach you, Divine Mother, help him, help her to learn it. And then you also, what that also does, and this is what Swami's wanting us to understand, that's a prayer that we all understand. If we're at all self-aware, and if we have any degree of self-honesty, it's like, why is this happening to me? Why am I behaving this way? Why are other people treating me this way? What are you trying to teach me, Divine Mother? And why am I not learning it? Why am I meeting this same condition again? Why, despite all the willpower and the prayer I put forward, am I still entangled in this? Why doesn't this situation resolve itself and go away? Well, I guess because I still have something to learn, don't I? A friend of mine, this is a rather lighthearted way of doing it, but I love this, or a lighthearted example. She had a friend, a good friend, who was elderly, was 40 years older than her. So when she was relatively young, he was an old man. And he had a tendency to retell the same stories. And her attitude was every time he started to retell one of his stories, she would think, well, there must be some lesson in the story that I haven't gathered yet. And then she would just listen attentively to sort of see what she hadn't yet learned. And that attitude, and of course she was able to do it lightly because this was just a very sweet man who was a very good friend to her, but he just liked to tell the same stories. So there wasn't much of a charge to it. But even if there is a charge, and if you can't extricate yourself from a situation or can't even extricate yourself mentally from it, you think, okay, what is there about this situation that I haven't yet learned? Because it's not enough to forgive. We also have to develop a God's eye view. How would Divine Mother feel at this person's life review? How will the Masters regard them? Well, we want the Masters to be as mad as we are, but that's not real likely. How would you like it if that's how God treated you? I mean, we're so sincere within ourselves. We mean so well. Everybody's just the same. That's one of the principles of the spiritual path, that it's one of those generic principles that the deeper you can get that into your heart, it unties all of these knots. Actually, everyone is just like you. Everybody wants happiness. Everyone wants to escape suffering. And every one of us who are not yet God-realized is quite confused about how that all works. And we get sucked down these rabbit holes of what we think is righteous, right behavior. And we get sucked way down into those rabbit holes. But then we have to stand back and say, all right, God, what are you trying to teach me? What good lesson have I not yet learned? What good lesson have these people around me not yet learned? And so now then we think about humility. Humility is self-honesty. That's what Master said, to self-honesty, which doesn't mean that I'm a terrible person and I'm always wrong. Humility says, well, you know, one of the things I have to learn is not everybody is a good person. And my just affirmation that I can trust, even though my instincts told me I shouldn't have, I have to have the humility to be honest enough to claim my strengths as well as my weaknesses. Humility isn't just claiming your weaknesses, it's also claiming your strengths, because it's self-honesty. Sometimes we think humility is self-abnegation, putting yourself down. That's not true. It's seeing yourself as you are. So you have to have the humility to realize, I didn't listen. I didn't listen to my own true instinct. So that's one of the things that humility can teach us. Receptivity. That means I'm listening. And I actually genuinely want to know. I'm not just searching the cosmos for someone who will agree with me. I'm actually deeply wanting truth, and I'm deeply wanting freedom. How much do I want freedom? Do I want freedom more than I want to be right and be apologized to? Or am I really receptive to unpopular, inconvenient truth? Am I really receptive to God's transforming grace? Do I really want to be free? These are not quick answers. And wisdom. And wisdom is just of this whole mess of possibilities. Which one is really the thread that is going to lead me to bliss? You know, please, Lord, give me and give everyone that I have ever thought ill of, give them the humility, the receptivity, and the wisdom to learn whatever it is you're trying to teach us. And great freedom comes when we can offer that prayer with sincerity. God bless you.